everyone. Thanks for tuning into the Message podcast of Friends Church. My name is Alessandra. I'm one of the team members here, and we're so glad that you're joining us. It's been really encouraging to hear stories from people all over the country and the world who are listening in. We really hope that our messages are resonating with you. We also wanted to say thank you to those who are contributing to Friends Church. All of the things we're able to do, it's because of people who donate regularly. Even small, consistent gifts help a lot. If you haven't had the chance yet to give, I would encourage you to maybe think about doing that, especially if it's been beneficial in your own journey. To do that, it's really easy. Just go to our website, friendschurch.ca, and click on the Donate tab, or download our Friends Church app and click on the Give tab. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy this week's message.
Morning, everybody. I was going to start one way, but I'm going to actually start a different way. I'm feeling kind of tired. Somebody sent me an email this week, or no, a text. A friend of mine from back in Manitoba said, "Hey, did you get enough time off over the holidays to recharge?" And I don't know the answer. The answer is yeah, of course, it was great. We had a lovely time. But I've just been spending the last couple weeks studying self-care and burnout. And I was like, if I say that's complete garbage, because I'm tired. I'm not functional tired, but I can feel this kind of like the drain that probably we've all felt the last 9 to 10 months. I can feel it here. My brain won't say, I'm fine, everything's fine, don't worry about me, I'll be fine. But you know that weight. So today, as we're coming in, service gets going, we have this incredible team of volunteers. They're doing an amazing job. But we start to get these comments saying the audio is glitchy on the stream side. You all here in person? Good choice today. But I can feel the weight of the glitchy audio here. We've been fighting with this stuff for the last 10 months. Justin, he's been, you know, leading the teams, doing an amazing job, but I can feel the weight of all of that. And as I saw the comments, instead of kind of going, oh yeah, we'll see what we can do, I can feel them, they kind of have a heavier weight to them, don't they? So my question is for you all, how are you honestly doing? Not the, how are you doing, I'm fine. No. How's your soul doing? I got this list of assessment questions I want to run through with you guys. Can you throw them open? You have a second, Tal? It says, have you experienced feeling tired and drained most of the time? Yep. Frequent headaches or muscle pains. Well, that can't be connected to anything like this. I just ran, right? That's what it is. A friend of mine feels it in her stomach. She gets an upset stomach. Have you experienced changes in appetite or sleep habits? Waking up in the middle of the night or not being able to go to sleep? Changes in sex drive. Feeling helpless, trapped, defeated. I saw the one feeling alone in the world. To all the people who live alone, this isn't a feeling. You actually are alone right now, right? And for the last however many months, you've had to be alone. Loss of motivation, increasingly cynical and negative. Withdrawn from responsibilities, procrastinating. Using food, drugs, or alcohol to cope. Taking frustrations on others. Any of those ringing your bell? As I go through the list, I can feel some of those. I can feel them on you today. It's not as easy as just saying we're burnt out or we're not. That's much too coarse of analysis, right? That's like there's line, and if I just step over the line, then I'm burnt out. But as long as I stay on this side of the line, I'm golden. Often that's how we think of this. But I don't think that's the best way to go through this. So right at the beginning when I met my partner, I was into running. I was doing triathlons, or was I ultra running at that point? Both. It's like, oh, I've tried to forget that part. Basically, all I would do is I would train until I was exhausted, and I'd come home and sit on the couch. Doing this kind of stuff, you're either, if you're doing triathlons, you're training somewhere between 6 to 8 times a week. You know, I'd train in the morning, I'd train again at night. I'd train for maybe 6 hours on the weekends, 7 hours, 8 hours. It got as high as 10 at some points. And I was just... It was just train, and then I said to her, like, I'm sorry, but like, this is my life, so you don't get a whole lot of me. So it wasn't the pandemic and all of life that started to drag me down. It was my own choices. Like, I did this to myself. But it's sometimes easier to watch or to learn from a story you're not in the middle of. Because I watched at the beginning of training, it was fine, right? I could go out for an hour, run, come home. You know, sit on the couch for an hour and I'd be fine. But over the weeks and then the months, it just felt like there was a deeper drain. I still had that kind of idea. I could still function in life for the most part, but there was like a deep tiredness inside me. And a friend of mine said, hey, Vince, because I was in training, you're always wondering, am I overtraining or am I training, right? Same thing. Is there a line? Am I burnt out or am I not burnt out? Am I okay? That's kind of how we think of that. He came to me, he had been studying yoga, and he said to me, no, the yogic tradition has a different way of thinking about this. They think of the energy in your life, the energy you need to function, as three bowls. There's one up here, one in the middle, and the one down at the bottom. Top bowl is the energy we need for the little things. You know, make supper. Takes a bit of energy, recharges quick. Right? You make supper, then you sit down for a minute, and then you feel fine. Run up a flight of stairs, stop at the top of the stairs, take a couple deep breaths, you're fine. That's the part of the energy of your life that you need that you can recover in maybe an hour or a day. Right? Had a heavy day at work, put your feet up in the evening, glass of wine, you're golden. But then there's a second bowl of energy. This bowl of energy doesn't want to give up its energy to you easily. It's the one where you kind of have to bear down and be like, okay, it's a heavy week at work. I'm going to have to push hard. Or, in my case, I have a race coming up. I need to get my training high. I need to get my volume up. I got to push hard. The government's locked us down. I got to dig deep. Suddenly you're a parent, cook, entertainer, teacher to your kids. First couple weeks was fine, right? But you have to dig deep. That's that second bowl of energy. And here's the thing. You have to pull that energy out. But it takes a while for it to recharge. This is the part of your soul that when you say, I need a week off, not a day off, not a weekend off, I need a week or two off. For me, I started to dig pretty heavily that bowl. The first race, I don't know, I trained maybe 6 months for it. It was okay. I was into that second bowl. I was definitely tired. There wasn't a whole lot else. When you start looking through this list of symptoms, I was checking a bunch of them off. I kept apologizing, saying, hey, sorry, babe. Sorry, babe. Sorry, babe. I could still function at that first bowl, it recharged. But that second bowl, can anyone feel that second bowl inside them? It's the holidays, so I've been thinking a lot about my mom. And a story of her death. And in thinking about her death, I wasn't actually thinking about losing my mom this time. I was thinking about my dad. So about 4.5 years before my mom died, they found out my mom had cancer. She had this cancer, so I don't know if you guys know, but your bones slough off cells, and then your body grows them. So it's like you constantly have your bones are constantly sloughing, and then regrowing, and then sloughing and growing. And so you constantly have new bones. Her cancer, multiple myeloma, stopped the regrowth process. So her body sloughed cells out of her bone, but it wouldn't grow. So basically, her bones got thinner and thinner and broke and more broke and more broke. But she didn't die in the hospital. Who would? Frick. So she wanted to die at home, and my dad said, I will do everything that I can. And right before she got diagnosed, I saw my dad in his first bowl. He loved to do projects, make my mom smile. You know, she'd try and sweep in her kitchen, and then she had to use the dustpan and bend over, and it hurt her back. And so he's like, oh, I'll put in a vacuum sucker thing. And he's like, you open the vacuum thing, and you sweep right into that, and you suck out dust. And so my mom didn't have to bend over. And he just loved doing stuff like that to her. And he'd take a nap when he got tired, and then he's back to it. My mom got diagnosed. I saw my dad drop into second bowl. My dad's a lot like me. That's probably why we're a little bit like this. One time I was on the top of Rogers Pass. I was like 16. My brother took me on a road trip to go snowboarding. And one of the cars we had their alternator stopped working. Top of Rogers Pass, midnight, middle of winter. No one knows what to do. We don't have jumper cables. So if the car dies, we're done. We need this car to run. So people are like, well, what are we going to do? I'm, you know, the 16-year-old kid. Like, well, I'll fix it. What do we got for tools? Someone had a nail clipper and a compact mirror. And I rewired an alternator in the middle of the night. That's my dad. If there's a zombie apocalypse, go to my dad's house. He'll rebuild your car. He'll fix whatever you have to do. But he's not a nurse. He's not a nurse at all. And as I watched him try to nurse my mom, she couldn't walk. He had to carry her or lift her out of her bed onto her walker. Then she could walk around, cook all the meals, do all the cleaning, do all the laundry. Again, I watched him dig into that second bowl. And he had to dig pretty deep because it's not natural to him. He could still do little things, right? After a night's sleep, he'd get up and do the laundry and do whatever. But it was like his soul was tired. And then that lasted for years. Years. And I watched him drop into that third bowl. The third bowl is that part inside of us, that energy that when we're done, that energy, we're done. It doesn't want to give up that energy a lot. We have to push hard to make that bowl give up its energy. This is parents, young kids. They have a kid, and after 2 years of not sleeping through the night, the parent is just wrung dry. That's third bowl. It's fighting your business for weeks and then months and then years. It's things that are long-term, that take everything we got for a long period of time. And when we pull that energy out, it takes a tremendous amount of time to recharge. My mom passed away. We did the funeral. We memorialized her well. And I watched my dad spend a full year, probably more than that. All he did is sat in his chair with a baseball game on TV, a puzzle on his laptop, and a bag of chocolate bars. The first bowl, it recharged. He could still do the regular things. But it was that deep soul tiredness. It took him years to recharge. wouldn't have done it any other way. He wanted my mom. He wanted to do that. But the cost. As we look through our lives, we can push and do everything we need to, but there's a cost, isn't there? I finished my last race. My wife there, she took care of me. You remember us driving home, me and my buddies, they were my crew. We were at A&W and I wanted to buy them lunch, and then I just fell asleep in the lineup. I'd been running for 30 hours straight, and so I was pretty tired. And then I passed out in the car with my head stuck against the thing that rolls down the window, and I slept like that for about half an hour. I was a mess. My dad at least did this for noble reasons. Like, come on. I did it because I'm an idiot. I wanted to see how deep into that third bowl like it could get. I wanted to experience that emptiness. I wanted to see if I would fall apart. Didn't go the way I expect. I took a couple weeks off, started training again, little stuff, you know, hit the gym for an hour, go for a light run. But it was all I could do. I would literally come home, you know, go to the gym on my way home, come home, and then just sit on the couch. And I told my wife, I was like, oh man, I think I'm getting old. I don't have as much energy as I used to. You know, I used to be out at the garage in the evenings doing all sorts of stuff. And again, you can feel it. The first bowl is filled enough that you can still function in life. But when that third bowl is empty, it's like you got no reserve. Anything hits you, you can't take it. I remember the day that I finally felt my third bowl start to fill up. I was sitting, I came home. I remember this one clearly. I came home, I hit the gym on the way home. You know, simple workout an hour. Came home, had supper with Elle. And then I went to sit on the couch, but instead of sitting on the couch like I did for months now, I was like, I want to go in the garage and rebuild my motorcycle. And then I had this moment where I was like, did I just really have a desire to do something other than sit on the couch all the time? I didn't know it at the time, but it had taken that many months to recharge that third bowl. Use that metaphor. Where are you at? When I say it's just a line, you know, are you cooked or burnt out? If it's just a line, you go, well, no, my top bowl is recharged. I'm fine, right? I'm functional. But as you go to the deeper bowls, how are they doing? Probably my top bowl is pretty good. But as I said to my wife, I'm fully into my second bowl. Like, fully in there. It might be pulling out of the third bowl at this point. How are you doing? As soon as I got to this point, first, I wanted to deny that I was tired. I'm just getting old. That's why I have no motivation. It's not because I'm burnt out. It's not because I've been using that third bowl energy to run long, long, long races for no reason other than to see if I can do it. Or my dad. He emptied that third bowl to give wife the thing that she wanted. How did we get here? How did we each get here? I just want to share a few things. For my dad, he didn't feel like he had a choice. I think really every parent whose kids got sent home from school feels that right now, don't they? Don't you? It's not like you can say, you know, go Go back to school. They closed the schools. There's things in our lives that we don't have a choice. Economy turns and suddenly our business is in trouble and we're having to put every bit of energy we have into it. And then it's like that for weeks and then months and then years, and that just drains everything. And it doesn't feel like we have a choice. We have to fight for that, don't we? There's reasons we're here. Some of them are good. Some of them are voluntary. I was reading a book. It's a really interesting book. I think her name is Kaylee Lashley. It's a book called He'll Be Okay. She's a researcher who says that, and again, I'm not going to draw a bell curve here. Women, though mothers who have uteruses and estrogen in their systems, for a million years, you've taken care of the children of our species. Thank you. The reason we're here today is because of the mothers for the last however many hundreds of thousands of years. The problem is that that thing that got you to take care of the kids also makes it insanely hard, even today, to take care of yourself. It's like you're fighting a million years of memories that say, no, forget yourself, take care of your kids. And if you're not really self-aware, take care of your older kids and your partner and your friends, the people at work and your family. And pretty soon there's nothing left. You don't even know that you're in your third because you've never experienced anything other than an empty third bowl. There's a genetic reason why some of us are cooked. It's not your fault. It's how our species survived. It's evolution. It's just, it's not working right now. Some of us are do-it-self people. Well, my parents said the very first thing I learned to say with mom and dad, it was do it myself. Right? Take care of me. Anyone identify as an island in terms of attachment theory? We'll talk more about that. You have a bit of that too. Do it myself. I'm just going to be by myself. I just need to be by myself. And right now, you haven't been able to be by yourself because roommates and family and... And so the thing that you use to recharge has been taken away. And you're tired. Some of the fallen victim of this Christian tradition that says, I don't know if you grew up with this, but in my tradition, it was, God will take care of you. So never say no to anybody. Boundaries are bad. No. God will take care of you. You just take care of everyone. You never say no. You never say, this is for me. It's just you give. That's the Christian way. The very first story of the earliest gospel, when we call Mark, it doesn't start the normal way. It starts off that there's a party, and Jesus has shown up at the party. And he didn't just do a flyby. You know those ones like I do sometimes? Someone's like, hey, come to a party. I don't really want to go. So I stop by for like 10, 15 minutes right at the beginning, and then I jet. You're all looking at me like that strange. Come on, you all do it too, don't you? So Jesus shows up at the beginning of the party, but he doesn't just do a flyby. He's there for hours. In fact, they drank all the booze. He's still there. Then he goes for a beer run to get more beer to keep the party going. Because he likes a good party. Does that sound like someone who doesn't have self-care on the brain? Our Christian tradition says, or often is articulated through this lens of, you know, God will take care of you, you take care of everyone else. And yet these stories of Jesus is, actually, no, he's taking care of himself. He's keeping the party going. Another one, he's got a group of people who need something from him, like, you know, doctor level needs something from him. And he says, no, I'm tired. And he buggers off to be by himself. The Christian tradition is often articulated as God will take care of you and then you take care of everyone else. But the stories of Jesus are sometimes God takes care of him and sometimes he just takes care of himself. He says no. He says, I'm tired. I need to recharge. I can't just give. The writer of Ecclesiastes, or at least one of the writers, there's probably a few of them, says, you know what? You know what makes a good life? Sometimes it's sitting at home with a wicked glass of wine and a really, really good plate of food and go to town. Why is it that we articulated the Christian tradition through a lens that says taking care of yourself is somehow less than when there's story after story after story? Some of us have been taught this really insidious idea that says the only way we can get love is if we earn it. If we do more, if we're more accomplished, then we'll be valuable. Can you see how that drives us to just keep digging deeper into those energy bowls? Some of us, this comes from shame. There's something wrong with me and I'm trying to figure out how to fix that feeling. And so what I keep doing is I keep trying to give and give and give. And I'm cooked. I go through these cycles of, okay, I'm okay, I give, burnout. Get back up. Give, burnout. There's reasons why we're here. Over the next while, we're going to help you guys unravel those reasons and figure out how to recharge the different parts of our lives. But we don't know, we can't fix this stuff until we can see it. My Enneagram this morning, so Enneagram is a personality test. Anyone know it? It's good. Jeff talks about it a lot. It's a really good system. I get an email that sends a specific email to my personality type every morning. One of three emails that I get every day. It basically says, Vin, stop trying to fix it. Just see it. Oftentimes, as I say, we're burnt out. Your first reaction is to, I need to get rid of this. I'm just going to take a day off, or I need a week off, or I need to get rid of it. That's my feeling. I just need to get rid of it. Fix it. I don't like this. The email this morning said, no. This solves itself when we can see it. When we can feel the bowls and we know how deep we're into those. When someone can say, hey Vince, can you do this? And I go, that's a top bowl amount of ask. Oh yeah, I have enough for that. But they say, can you do this? I'm going, oh, that's a second bowl ask. My second bowl is empty. Today, that's what I'm trying to give you. Let's be honest, that's what I'm trying to find myself. I want you to have profound awareness of where your energy levels are. There's this idea of mastery. When you learn something new, you master it. But it goes through these different stages of mastery. The first one is unconscious incompetence. That means you're not doing it well and you don't know that you're not doing it well. How many of us are in the middle of unconscious competence when you go, don't put up your hands, but like, seriously. I usually can tell that let's just start with that, unconscious incompetence. You're burnt out, you're cooking yourself third bowl, second bowl, all bowls, and you don't even know you're doing it. Just feels normal. Just feels natural. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? I still have some ounce of energy left, so I need to give it. I need to do something. I need to accomplish. I need to whatever. But the first stage out of that into mastery is this conscious incompetence. You're still doing it poorly, but you know you're doing it poorly. Today, I'm trying to help you guys find and help me find conscious incompetence. That was my email or my text from my friend. Did you get enough time off? First reaction, yes, that's unconscious competence. As I went through the analysis of the different bowls, I went, that second bowl is pretty empty still. So, still doing it poorly, but I know I'm doing it poorly. So that's trying to get you guys today. I want you to know that you're doing it poorly. And not because of shame. I don't want shame. That's garbage. Who cares? What I want is awareness. Profound awareness. Not just, I'm fine, I know what to say, but like, no. What's the deep bowls feeling like? For those of you who've come out of these long, prolonged pushes, can you feel that third bowl? It's like, ooh, that sucker is only half full. As we go, the time between your awareness of something and knowing what the right thing to do is, we'll get closer and closer. Right now, I know I'm doing something poorly. After I've said yes to something, I'm well into it, and I'm digging into my second bowl, and I'm going, oh, now I'm just getting frustrated, and I'm getting pissy, and I'm getting short. At some point, there will be a time when you're just about to say yes to something, either to somebody else or in yourself, and you're going to go, wait a second. I don't have enough energy in that bowl for that one. I saw it with a friend of mine. She wanted to homeschool her kid. Noble. She works full time, has a business. For the first 6 months, she was like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. But she can tell she's fully into her second bowl to do this, and she's getting into her third. And she just made the decision to send the kid back to school. Not because she wouldn't want to homeschool her kid. It's beautiful, right? Because she doesn't have the capacity to do it. There will be a moment when you're about to do the thing that's going to cook you. You're going to realize you're about to do the thing that's going to cook you. And before you do it, you're going to say, wait a second. This is the moment in mastery where I go from conscious incompetence, meaning I'm aware that I've not done this well, to conscious competence. And you'll feel the timeline getting closer. You know, right now, it maybe be a couple months till I realize how cooked I am. Now I'm realizing the other day I was working on some renovations and just getting more and more frustrated. And I realized, oh, relationally, I haven't been doing the things that I need weeks ago. I'm only feeling now, right? You're going to get closer and closer until all of a sudden you're going to go, wait a second. If I step over this line, it's going to ask too much of me. And that's the point of series. To help you get to the point where you can say, that's not what I need to do right now. I need to do something really different. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to explore different parts of our lives. Our physicality, our emotional lives, our relational lives, our spiritual lives. To help you find what's draining the bowls. And how do you recharge them? It's strange, as I talk to you guys about this, I can feel something inside of me that doesn't, I didn't want to tell you guys that I'm tired. Not my top bowl. Top bowl's fine. But my second bowl, that one's tired. I didn't want to tell you guys that. Didn't want to feel weak, or you guys, someone might feel bad for me. God forbid. That'd be the end of the world, wouldn't it? But I think learning that this starts with honest awareness of where we're at. Don't try and fix it. Just be aware of where you are at and what things are pulling from what bowl. If we can do that today, if we can do that this week, I think there's profound hope. To find lives of fulfillment and joy and energy and love. This isn't just about hoarding. This is about taking care of us so that we can take care of the world, but not in a way that's killing us. In a way that's open-hearted and we have to give. That's the whole goal of this series. If this is resonating with you, if you're one of those people who's like, I'm freaking good in all my bowls, take a week off. You're golden. In fact, yeah, call me and I'm going to get you to teach the next week. Because clearly you have this figured out because I don't. But if you're like me, some of them of the bowls are feeling okay, but others, I want to invite you back next week. Jeff's going to start it off. We haven't actually decided what exactly he's going to do, but just trust me, it's going to be really freaking good. So folks, take a deep breath if you wouldn't mind. Take a deep breath into a lower bowl, down deep. May we be aware of our energy levels at all parts of our system. Amen. Have an amazing week, everybody. See you next week.